coming back. Just keep on coming and be a part of the LifeGate family. You need anything at all, you let us know. We'll try to meet whatever need that you may have. We're just thrilled you're here, and thank you for being with us today. Well, we're in a series. It's called The Power of Believing. There is power in believing unlike any other power, and God wants to release that power through your life. He wants to do great and marvelous things in and through you so that He can be glorified. Today's lesson is called The Work of Believing. Believing is work. Now, I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm going to show you it is, and I'm going to tell you and show you where Jesus said that it is. Work is involved in believing properly. So, if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn with me to a couple of passages today, and if you don't, they'll be on the screen as always. But in John chapter 6 and verse 28, I want you to turn there. If you have your Bible, that's going to be the passage that tells us where Jesus says that believing is work. And then also in Mark chapter 5 and verse 23, look at that one with me. That's going to tell us about the story you just saw betrayed on the screen, Jairus. And then we're going to look at John chapter 11. We'll look at the whole chapter. So we've got a lot to cover. After I'm done, we're going to have water baptism. So that'll be fun too, huh? But let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day and all of these wonderful, beautiful people. Lord, I ask you to bless us all as we've come together today just to worship you and praise you. We've sang, we've given. We've worshiped, we've clapped our hands, Lord. We've just acknowledged that you are our Savior and our King. Now, Lord, I ask you as we share your word, Lord, that it falls upon good soil. It will produce 160 and 30-fold. Father, I ask you, Lord, as I share, anoint me, Lord, that I can say specifically and explicitly what you once said so that we can build our belief, so that we can properly believe, so that we can experience the great things that you want to do in and through us. And I ask you to help us in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen. If you want that on you, yeah, amen, amen, amen. Well, there's a power in believing that is unlike any other power in the universe. It has the power to save a soul. It has the power to heal a body. It has the power to change the course of nature. See, you are not created to be just natural. You are created to be supernatural. You aren't created to be normal. You are above normal. And God doesn't want you going through life facing the same old problems and the same old dilemmas day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. He wants you to live an abundant life and an overcoming life. That's why Jesus came, is so you can have not abundant death but abundant life. And He wants that to happen in your life, and He wants it to come through you. He wants it to be a part of what and who you are. And the thing that we wrestle with sometimes is how we believe. But if we can properly believe, then all things are possible. We saw that last time in the lesson that we had. Jesus tells us that in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See, the Lord doesn't want His children to go through life despaired or depressed or beat down. He wants you to go through life with a victory. He wants you to go through life with a smile on your face and a jump in your step. And He wants you to enjoy life. Life should be fun. And so what happens sometimes is we're going along through life and things seem to be going pretty good. And all of a sudden something happens. A tragedy comes. Something bad happens to our life. You know, our marriage begins to fall apart. Or our child rebels. Or our parent rebels. You know, something crazy happens. You know, something goes wild in our life. And all of a sudden our faith is attacked. And that which we felt like we were so strong, and all of a sudden we find negative words coming out of our mouth. We start thinking negative thoughts, and we start wondering where God is. Does He love me? Why won't He move? And all of a sudden we become walking in unbelief rather than belief. So what I want to talk to you about today is working on your belief. You've got to work on your belief to keep your belief where it needs to be. If you want to live the victorious life that God has for you, you've got to believe. You've got to believe that all things are possible. One day Jesus was ministering, and these guys came to Him and they said, I want you to tell us the works that God wants us to do. And it's recorded for you here in John chapter 6 and verse 28. It says, then they asked Him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Now, remember that in the old covenant, they had to do a lot of works. They had to do animal sacrifices. They had to attend feasts 3 times a year. They had to wash in a certain way. There were clean and unclean foods. They had to do this. They had to do that. And so what they're asking Him is, what now do we have to do in your kingdom, in your new kingdom that you're establishing? You tell us what God expects us to do. And then Jesus answered. He said, the work, there's only one, but there is a work. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. See, belief begins by believing that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, which means Christ, which means King. Believing begins at the base point of it in believing that Jesus now has all authority in heaven and in earth. Believing right now, if you want to experience the abundant life, you got to believe that what Jesus says is true. And if he says to this one, go, that one goes. And if to this one come, this one comes. Because he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. He's not going to get his authority one day. Proper belief is believing that he is King now. He is the one that God sent. And if you can believe that, it will change you forever. You believe, you start seeing him in this kingship, in his lordship, and what he decrees and what he says happens. But what's interesting about that verse is that believing is work. Here's the work. Believe. Believe. We're going through life, you know, and all of a sudden our bodies get sick. And we wonder, will we ever get healed? No, you got to work at keeping your belief up there and keep on believing. Yeah, it hurts and yeah, there's pain. But yeah, you got to keep on believing because your miracle might just be right around the corner. Your marriage may be in distress and looking bad, but you can't start believing that it's going to fail. You got to keep on believing. You got to work at believing that God's going to do something for you. God's going to change that spouse or change you or do something. You can't keep believing that your finances are always going to be bad. You got to believe. You got to work at it. Even though you get bills and the car tears up and the refrigerator messes up and the washer and the dryer go down and the money that you thought was you were saving, all of a sudden it's gone. You can't let that move your belief. You got to keep on believing. You got to work at it. Even though that parent has gone crazy. You got to believe that that parent's going to be okay. Keep on believing. You got to believe. You got to work with God on belief. It's work, and you got to work at believing. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, the image that we just tried to portray to you that we do in our Easter drama, about a man named Jairus. Now, Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue, the Bible says. In other words, he was the pastor of the local assembly. And when his daughter got very ill, he went and found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he fell at the feet of Jesus and he says, I know that you can heal my daughter if you'll just come to my house. Now at that point in time, he was full of belief. His belief was strong. His belief was up there. I know if you'll just come and you'll lay your hands on her, I know my daughter will be healed. He was full of belief. Jesus says, of course I will. If you got that kind of belief, I'm with you, buddy. And here they go. They're taken off to Jairus' house. Well, the crowd comes up. You know the story. The crowd of people began to throng around Jesus, press up against him. There's a woman in the crowd that had an issue of blood for years and years. She'd spent all of her money with physicians and hadn't gotten healed. But she believed that if she was able to press through that crowd and touch the hem of his garment, that God would heal her. Now, this is interesting to me because she did that. As Jesus is trying to go with Jairus, the crowd is, of course, hindering him. But also this woman presses through and grabs the hem of his garment and pulls on it. And Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? And those disciples said, what do you mean? Who touched you? Look at all of these people. Yeah, but I know somebody special touched me. Somebody touched me with belief. Somebody touched me and I felt virtue go out of my body. I know somebody touched me. Listen, if you really want to touch God, believe. Believe that he can do what he said he would do. Believe he wants you healed. Believe he wants you to prosper. Believe he wants you to do great mighty things through your life. Believe. Well, Jesus wouldn't move on until he found out who this woman was. Evidently, it took a little time. And in the meantime, men came from Jairus' house and said, Pastor, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. Well, what would that do to Jairus' belief now? The man that was so up with his belief, that was powerful in his belief. If you'll just come and lay your hands on her, I know she'll live. Now what's happened to him? What would happen to you? How would you feel? Well, Jesus heard this. And it was interesting how Jesus handled this. Not only how he handled it specifically for himself, but how he handled it for Jairus and encouraged Jairus to do it. And I want you to see the verse. And it's in Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. Then it says, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. In the King James Version, it says it this way: be not afraid, only believe. Jesus ignored that negative report. Jesus ignored that that little girl was dead. And then he encouraged Jairus to do the same thing. Only believe. Don't let your belief waylay now. You've worked, you've built that belief, you believe that if I'm there, I'll do it. Don't let that get your belief down now. Let's see what God's going to do. Hold, work on your belief, Jairus. Work with me here. Get your belief up there. Let's work on this and only believe. And it was interesting what Jesus did, and I'm looking at this from this perspective. How do we work on our belief? What did Jesus now do as he ignored that bad report and told Jairus to only believe? What did he do? Well, it was interesting to me. Let me show you this next verse. It says in Mark 5:37, it says, then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. Jesus really did three things that was interesting to me. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this, whatever that you're going through, Jesus would say the very same thing to you that he said to Jairus, only believe. Whatever you're going through in your life, you keep on believing. You keep on believing that Jesus is the King. You keep on believing that Jesus is the Christ. You keep on believing. You work on your belief. I don't care what you're facing, and you may have every reason in the world, and it may be every right reason in the world to not believe. But listen, don't let that bring you down. Only believe. Jesus stopped the crowd. That was the first thing that he did. Listen, you can't run with the crowd and maintain your belief. You can't just run around with anybody and keep your belief where it needs to be when you're looking for a miracle. You got to hang around people that want the miracle that you want if you want to have that miracle. You can't just run with the crowd and expect your belief to be where your belief must be if you're looking for a miracle from God. You got to leave that crowd behind. You got to stop being with that crowd. That was the first thing that Jesus did. He stopped the crowd. The crowd is interested in themselves. The crowd is interested in selfish things. The crowd is interested in what they want. But what you've got to do is focus on your belief and on what you're wanting and what you're believing God for. And the second thing he did, which was even more interesting and profound than was the first, he stopped the disciples from following him. Isn't that interesting? There were 12 disciples. But he stopped all of them except for three, Peter, James, and John, from following him. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that you don't want most Christians praying for you when you're really wanting to believe God for something? I know, you got to hear this. I don't care how long or how close they seem to be with Jesus or how long they've walked with him. There are many Christians, most Christians, you don't want praying for you. I am very particular who I ask to pray for me. I'm not only careful who I lay hands on suddenly, I'm careful who lays hands on me suddenly. You got to know where they're at and what they really want. It's interesting, out of the 12, he kept three, which is 25%, correct? Pretty close. There's a 25% figure that Jesus often used. He talked about the soil. There's four kinds of soil. There was the pathway soil, the stony soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil. 25% of the good soil, 25% of the soil is good. So what you're looking for is that 25%, that good soil. You're looking for that 25% of the people, those 25% of your believers, your closest people, who will go with you, who want what you want, who will take you and go with you all the way to your miracle, no matter how far it is, no matter how difficult it is. You want people that will go with you and believe what you believe and will walk with you and work with you on your belief. So those were the first two things that he did. Then he got there, and it was interesting. As he began to approach Jairus' house, it was interesting that he heard all this commotion. And all of these people were out there wailing and grieving and making this big commotion. Let me show you the verse. It says in Mark 5:39, he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. Isn't it amazing how much more commotion is usually made about negative things than positive things? How much louder people get about when something goes negative than they are when things are going positive? Wouldn't it be great if we could get as excited and talk as much about the positive things that happen in others' lives, in our lives, as we get excited and talk about the negative things that happen in lives? You see, only believe. Don't let negative stuff. Jesus doesn't like negative stuff around where you're trying to believe. He doesn't like that. He says, why are you making all this commotion? I don't want this commotion here. I want you to leave. And as he began, he says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced something like this, but you refuse to believe a negative report, even though the obvious is laying there before your eyes. But you still refuse it. You got a headache? No, I don't have a headache. You know, your head's bursting. They know you got a headache. But you will not confess that headache. Now, that's just a simple one. And people laugh at you, and they scorn. See, what you want to do, the third thing that Jesus did was get those laughers and those mockers out of there. You don't want people around you when you're believing for a miracle. You don't want the people around you that will laugh at you and mock you and scorn you. Let me show you this verse in Mark 5:40. It says, and they laughed him to scorn. But did their laughter affect his belief? You got to expect people to laugh at you when you're really believing God for something. You got to expect people to mock you and criticize you when you're really wanting to go on with God. Because they will. The enemy will make certain that they do. But Jesus put them out, the Bible says. He put them out. And then he took with him the only those that wanted what he wanted. Jairus wanted what Jesus wanted. Jairus' wife, the girl's mother, wanted what they wanted. Peter, James, and John obviously wanted that. And that's who Jesus took in to get that miracle done. See, you got to be careful who's with you, who's walking with you when you're looking for God to do big things in your life. And the Bible says that he took that little dead, lifeless hand and he pulled on it. And he said, daughter, get up. Let me read you the verse. Mark 5:41. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha koma, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Is that all right? How many of you would like to see God do some things in your life that would completely astonish other people? Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Well, He wants to. What I'm here today to tell you is that He wants to do that in our lives. And what we got to do is only believe. We got to work at belief. We got to work at believing the right way. We got to work on our belief. We got to work with God on our belief. See, it's like this. We must refuse to accept the obvious if we're going to maintain our belief. If we're really going to see God move in the miraculous in our lives, we're seeing the obvious situation, but we can't accept the obvious. We've got to accept His belief. Only believe. Work at not going with the crowd. Work at having people in your life that only help you and encourage you and uplift you and believe like you. Work at getting away from people that laugh and mock and scorn you. And God will raise your dead dreams. God will reach down and lift up that dream that has died in your life. God will raise up that hurting marriage. God will raise up. He'll reach down and He'll raise up that rebellious child, or He'll fix that rebellious parent. He'll fix that job situation. He'll find a way to resurrect and raise up again. He'll tell it to get up. If you'll only believe. Only believe. You got to work at believing that Jesus is whom He said He is. You got to work at believing that He has a good plan for your life. You got to work at believing that God will take any situation that you're going through and turn that situation around. You got to work at believing that God will heal your body or heal that loved one. You got to work at believing that God's got good days ahead for you. You got to work at believing that God will take anything that you'll ever go through and He'll make something good come out of it if you can only believe. And it's work. It just doesn't happen. People that believe work at believing. They just don't run with the crowd. They just don't let any Christian hang around them and pray for them. And they don't hang around the mockers and scorners and those that laugh. They work at their belief. Believing right works. You've got to remember what He said in John 6:28. Then they asked Him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. See, proper believing requires work. You know, we try to make the Christian life complicated. We try to make it a formula. We preachers are awful about giving you point A and point B and point C and 1, 2, and 3. And the bottom line is just, you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the King, the Lord. Whatever term fits what you do, you got to believe that there is no higher authority than Him. And if you can get Him moving on your side, then it's going to happen. Only believe. Believe. See, we're awful about pigeonholing God and putting Him in a place where we think that He'll move if we get Him over here. Over the years, we've heard so much doom and gloom stuff, you know, that God's just waiting for the first opportunity that He can to burn this planet up. You know, that's kind of the stuff that we've been hearing. We're believing that He's waiting for the next sinner to mess up so He can whack them. You know, that's kind of the stuff that we're hearing. Well, that's not what Jesus preached. That's not the Father God that Jesus talked about. See, it's difficult for us to hearing all that stuff to believe that God is really good and that God really wants to do something good for you, because we're worried about all this other stuff. We're worried about our last little sin. And God's trying to get you to believe. Believe. And so what we do is we create a Baptist God, or a Methodist God, or a Church of Lafayette God, or a Pentecostal God, or a Church of Christ God. We pigeonhole Him. Never do that. Never do that. Because what that does will defile your belief. It'll mess up, because He can only move this way. He can only move here. He can only move if this person lays their hands on me. Or He can only do if I do this. No, don't do that. You mess up what God wants to do in your life. You limit God by thinking like that. Moses tried to do that. Moses was called by God, the burning bush situation. And the burning bush was burning, and Moses went to it and received his commission. God says, I want you to go to Egypt and say, let my people go. Well, okay. Now, if I do this, if I decide to take this assignment, they're going to ask me who you are, what your name is. What do I tell them? Let me show you what God said to Moses. Exodus 3:13 says, Moses said to God, suppose I go. Suppose I do this. I'm not sure yet, but maybe, you know, suppose I do. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And He said, here's what I want you to tell the people. My name is I am. What does that mean? That means I am blank. I am whatever you want, whenever you want it, however. I am. You fill in the blank. I am whatever. Don't limit God. What do you need from God? Then fill in the blank. I am that. I am the God that will open your Red Sea. I am the God that will bring water from a rock for you. I am the God that will bring you manna and supply all your need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I am that God. I am your peace. I am your love. I am whatever that you need, whenever you need it, however you need it, and wherever you need it. I am that God. That's my name. Don't limit God. I am. This still is. Go with me, sister. Help me out. Well, there you go. He is. His name is Jesus. But He is I am. All righty. I am. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that wants to do anything for you. And all things are possible if you'll just believe. Work on your belief. See, the work is in believing. And my wife doesn't like me to say it this way, so. But I'm going to do it. Suffer the consequences, because it will get the point across. See, God likes to show off. She doesn't like me to say it that way. What we say in churchese, you know, when you're speaking church language, the glory of God. That's churchese. It sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? But what it simply means is God wants to show off. Whenever you find Him expressing His glory, you find Him showing off. And God wants to show off in your life so that He will bring glory to Himself and to the Son, Jesus. And when we believe properly, that's exactly what happens, is we let God show off through our lives. One day, Jesus was ministering, and Mary and Martha sent a messenger to Jesus and said, Jesus, our brother Lazarus is sick, and he's about to die. And you got to hurry, because if you'll get here, he won't die. And Jesus heard that, and they expected Jesus to get on the fastest camel in the region and get there now. But he didn't do that. Now, let me read you the verse. As when Jesus heard this, this is what it says in John chapter 11, verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? What does that mean? So God can show off. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. See, and if you're familiar with the story, you know what happened. You know that God showed off. And the Son of God was glorified. Now what happened is Jesus waited two more days before He responded to what Mary and Martha asked Him to do. And He knew that Lazarus had died. But yet He still didn't go. And the disciples were discussing this and talking about it. And they thought that He was just sick. And they were having this little communication. And finally says, no, Lazarus is dead. But what He says is so interesting. He says, and I'm glad that I wasn't there. Not that I wasn't there and Lazarus died. I'm glad that I wasn't there for your sakes. So that you can believe. Has God ever kind of been late for you? Has he kind of not showed up on the fastest camel when you sent that prayer? You see? It was so you can believe and so that He can be glorified through you. Let me read you the verse in John chapter 11 and verse 14. It says, so then He told them plainly, the disciples, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But now let's go to Him. He's coming. I want to tell you today, Jesus is coming. He may not come when you want Him. He may not come exactly when you ask Him. But don't stop believing. Don't stop believing, because it might just be that He's going to show off through you. It might just be that He's going to do something in your life so that down the road you can have more belief. It might be Peter, so that you can see this, Peter, because down the road you've got to raise Tabitha from the dead. It might be that down the road God's going to use you to do something mighty, but you've got to work on your belief. Don't give up just because it didn't happen when you thought it should or the way you thought it should. Only believe. Work on believing. Don't allow negative thoughts. Don't allow negative words. Don't allow negative people. Don't allow negative Christians to get around you. Don't allow laughers and mockers and scorners to get around you. Only believe. And so Jesus said, let's go. So they showed up at Lazarus' house 4 days late. They'd already buried him. Interestingly, Jesus refused to go to the house. Instead, He called Martha and Mary to Him. Now, we already know why He wouldn't go to the house. There were people there that didn't believe right. There were people there that were from Jerusalem who mocked Him and criticized Him and put Him down. And He would not go to their house. Instead, He called them to Him. Martha came first. Martha came out there, and what she said was so great. Here's what she said. I'm going to read you the verse, but I'm going to tell you first. She said this. She says, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, He will do it. Even now, even though it is obviously too late, I know that even now, if you ask it, He'll do it. The next thing Jesus said is your brother will rise again. The next thing, I want to show you. Now look at this. John 11:22. But I know, Martha said, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, she says, well, I know he'll raise the last day. No, Martha. I am. You missed it. I am that I am, that I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Martha, you're not having to wait until the last day to get your miracle. Because I am the resurrection. I am, Martha, the life. Do you believe this, Martha? Oh, yeah, there will be the resurrection and eternal life and all that. Oh, yeah, that'll take place. But right now, do you believe this, Martha? Let me show you this. 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, I am. Say, I am. I am whatever you need, whenever you need it. Amen? I am the resurrection and the life. I will raise whatever you need to raise. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And, something else. And, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? Work with me here, Martha. It's important, Martha, that you work with me here on your belief. Because, Martha, I can't raise him unless you believe. Martha, do you believe this? And look what she said. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you are the King, you are the Son of God, which should come into this world. Jesus says, take me to the tomb. Isn't that interesting? Take me. I got it now. God's about to show off. Take me to the tomb. So they go to the tomb. Now, this is who? They go to the tomb. And they're standing there, looking at this tomb, with this big rock in front of it. And Jesus says, roll the stone away. And Martha says, the Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and now he stinketh. Jesus said, what? Martha, did I not tell you? If you would believe with me, if you would work with me here, if you would work on your belief, Martha, did I not tell you that if you would work with me here, that you would see him rise again? Look at it. That's exactly what happens. Look at this. John 11:39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he's been dead 4 days. And then Jesus says, what? Did I not tell you, Martha, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Martha, you got to work with me. Listen, whatever that it is that you're wanting raised, you got to work on your belief. You got to work with God. Believe all things are possible. Jesus said with a loud voice. He looked at heaven and he prayed. And then he looked and he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. And he come out of there wrapped up in those grave clothes. That's what the Bible says in John 11:43. When he had thus said, when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, say was dead, was dead, came forth, bound hand and foot, and with grave claws, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Did God show off or what? Huh? Say, that's the glory of God, and God wants to do that through you and through me, but we've got to believe. God wants to show off in your life. What is it about your life that stinks? He wants to raise it. You've buried it. You've maybe wrapped it up and, you know, you've done the thing. But listen, God wants to raise it. You got to believe. Does your marriage stink? Believe. Does that child's behavior stink? Does that parent behavior stink? Believe. Does your pastor stink? Help me. Work with me here. Believe. What is it? Do you need that better job, that promotion? Do you keep getting overlooked? Believe. Do you need your finances straightened out? Believe. Work with God here. And He will resurrect it because He is the resurrection and the life. He said, I am. Don't limit me. I am what you need when you need it. But you just can't put a name on me. Don't put a fix on me. Don't pigeonhole me. Because I am that I am. And I am. Tell the people, Moses, that I am. I'm here to tell you today that He is. He is the I am. And He will do for you whatever that you allow Him to do. What will stop Him from moving in our life oftentimes is that we don't believe. We don't believe He wants to. We don't believe He will. We get hung up with our situations and our circumstances. We face a tragedy. We go through tough times in life. And folks, we all do. What we got to do is get people around us who believe. We got to understand that we got to work at our belief. If you'll understand that you got to work at your belief, then God will pull through for you. He'll do His part if you do your part, and your part is to believe. That's the only work He wants you to do. You got to work with God on this. You got to be like Jairus, and you got to leave the crowd, and you got to leave the negative Christians, and you got to leave the laughers and the scoffers. And though it looks obviously dead, you got to believe. Because all things are possible. God will raise it up. God will resurrect it. God will bring it back. A dead dream, a dead marriage, whatever that it is, He'll bring it back to life again. If you'll only believe. You got to realize that God is the I am that I am that I am. Don't limit Him. Don't make Him Baptist or Methodist because He's not. He's not even LifeGate. He is the I am. He will do for you whatever you let Him do for you. He wants to do great mighty things through your life, even if it stinks. Even if it's been dead a long time, God wants to do something mighty in your life. God wants to move in your life greatly. He wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to break off generational curses. He wants you to live in a layer, in a place higher than you've ever lived before. He wants you to experience the abundant life and experience the plan of God that He has for you. He wants you to live your dream. And if you'll do that, if you'll believe, He'll take you places that you've never been. You'll experience things you just don't have any understanding that's out there waiting for you. God will take you and do mighty things through your life. How many people are going to stop limiting God? How many people are going to let Him be the I am that I am that I am that I am that I am? Amen, amen. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah!